This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. This is Primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere. Visit dodgeofgresham.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, relatively on time. 5:02. Hey,
look at us. That's someone's going to get in the car and be all pissy that we're halfway through the hot 5 at 5.
Right.
I hear that a lot from people.
Well, we
like,
can stall.
I think we need to, because I hear from a lot of people that are like, I love the fact that you guys get started at like 5:10, because it gives me time to get out to the car and settled in.
Don't you think? I mean,
well, yeah, no one gets off at like you
right at 5.
You're at 5, you're in your car.
You got to get to your car. You got to get
maybe
situated.
A bathroom situation. Right. Got to harass someone out the door.
Yeah, so...
That awkward shoulder rub.
Who knew that the Hot 5 at 5 at 5:07 was perfect?
Yeah, people love it.
So that's coming up here in just a moment. I've got a couple of things to tease.
Tease away.
We are having... So next week is kind of a wild and wacky week because of Thanksgiving.
Why the wild... I just think of like the wild and wacky weatherman when you do that. The wild weather. Like we're doing a morning zoo.
That reminds me of Family Guy's wacky inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Yeah.
Due to a shipping error, we now have thousands of wacky inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Those things are terrifying, by the way. That's like near the top of my list of things that I'm not scared of, but that I'm irrationally uncomfortable around. Those weird blow up dancing guys. Like, what do those work?
Like the Gumbies that are blowing in the wind?
Yeah, like someone's got like a big sale going on.
You
like,
always notice them.
Yeah.
Like someone wants to buy like a used Subaru, and so you get that thing out there. I find them unsettling.
Yeah, I don't really know why they...
I don't know.
I mean, what the... I guess it's just to show that something special is going on there.
I guess.
It's not just an everyday...
It gets you to look in that direction.
It's like that, and they do the like the giant inflatable animal on top of the dealership as well.
Right.
Like a big inflatable like... Manila gorilla, the grape ape or something. It's like, hey, you want to buy a truck? Here's a giant ape.
People like that, though, because you remember the old the Greek cuisine downtown had the octopus, the iconic octopus?
Yeah.
People love that stuff.
I guess it
They like big giant.
Look, if it didn't work, they like what?
Big giant animals.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if it didn't work, people wouldn't do it.
You know, that is often said, but I'm not sure I subscribe to that theory.
Some of the promotional items?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes you look at like...
It doesn't always...
You look at the promotional budget and you're like, wonder if maybe that money could be better spent on like something other than the promotional Frisbee.
Or keychains.
Yeah.
Perhaps a koozie. Has anybody ever bought a koozie?
No. I don't think that's ever been purchased.
You should never buy a koozie.
You just get one.
You just find them.
Yeah.
They're just around. They're like pens.
Yeah, people do hand them to you. Hey, you want a koozie? I guess.
So a couple things to tease. Monday is no show. I hate to tell you. It's no show Monday.
Yeah, no show Thursday was a smashing success, and we've parlayed that into a no show Monday. Seahawks, by the way.
Yeah, Seahawks are going to be on.
Monday Night Football.
Tuesday, we will be out at Big Al's in Beaverton, and we'd like you to join us. It's our Civil War party, where we will have Civil War tickets to give away. The golf simulator is going to be open and free. You can just, you know, play on it.
Whack away.
We're going to have food and drink, and it's only $10.80 to get in. We'll be upstairs there if you've ever been to the Beaverton Big Al's.
Bill Swancutt will be in attendance. Josh
yes.
Wilcox.
Yes.
Duck and Beaver greats.
You know, you say that, and that is true. Duck and Beaver greats, and I don't have the list in front of me, but there are a lot of guys coming.
Yeah.
Way more Beavers than Ducks, though.
Yeah, right now we're tilted more towards the Beavs. But
freaking Ducks. Look,
Wilcox's were just Wilcox alone is worth like three Beavs.
Oh, he'll represent.
A Beaver in the hand, you get one Duck. I mean, that's Wilcox.
All the fan staff will be there. We would love for you to come. We'll talk some sports and the Civil War, and that will be Tuesday. Our show will be live. You all can be there by 4, and we'll party for a couple of hours. Wednesday, I think we're back here in studio. Thursday, of course, no show. We're going to be getting fat on turkey and wine.
Yeah.
And then Friday, we're out at PK80.
Yeah, so we're on the road twice next week.
Out at the Moda Center.
Yeah, come on by and join us. Plenty of tickets still available for that thing. I'm a little surprised that that's been selling as softly as it has.
Yeah, I haven't seen the numbers. But, you know, I mean, it's Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, but...
it's a tough sell. Look,
there are games on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. I think that if you look at these college basketball tournaments early in the season, there have been a lot of them that have been very successful.
Yeah.
Like the Great Alaskan Shootout and Maui Invitational. But there aren't that many people going to those games.
No, because in my mind, like I remember I went to the Great Alaskan Shootout a lot growing up. And in my mind, that was always packed. But when I actually looked up how many people fit in the Great Sullivan Arena, it's about 6,500.
Right. I mean, this is a 20,000 seat arena.
I know. So I was like, in my mind, I'm like, what? I remember that place being packed. It's 6,000 people.
Right. So, I mean, it's college basketball in November. Yeah. But this is a hell of a field.
Yes.
Like, this is cool that this is coming to town. But to compare it to March Madness, when it matters, you know, it's the NCAA tournament, it's just not... No. It's not the same. It's just, and it's Thanksgiving weekend, and you have the Civil War going on. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers, but I'll be there. You and I will be there on Friday, and I can't wait for some of those games. I think it's going to be fun.
Can't wait for the DePaul game.
Yeah, I might skip them. I'm going to skip them and UP. Yeah, no offense. We own the rights to the Pilots, don't we? Yeah, I love the Pilots.
You will not skip them. That game.
I will be. Is Portland State there?
The voice of Jason Swigart.
Portland State is in the tournament. They might be at Memorial Coliseum, though. I don't know.
Yeah. Those three teams, you know, it's like Chaminade in the Hawaii one.
Yeah.
In the Maui one.
Or UAA.
Yeah. It's like, come on.
Although, I'll tell you what, every now and then, the Seawolves, Anchorage, Alaska, they'd pull an upset.
Really?
Yeah. Same with Chaminade.
Really?
They play well a lot.
They do?
Yeah, every now and then. I mean, they wouldn't beat, like, you know, UConn or somebody, but every now and then, they would knock off, like, a top 25 team, and it was a huge deal.
Let me ax you something.
Axed away.
When is the last time Portland or Portland State basketball pulled off a major upset?
I'm going to have to.
Do you remember one?
No.
I would like you to work a Google on that.
I'll work a Google
and
on
it. And I'll handle the hot 5 at 5.
All right.
All right. Coming up in our next segment, we'll set the college football DVR, a big college football weekend. We have a few Friday randoms coming up. And in the club, we will talk about Skydong and the unifying joy of an underwater hippo fart. Right now, though.
The Skydong is one of my favorite stories that I've seen in months.
Right now, the Hot 5 at 5:09.
Oh,
gave you time, topic. Right?
Perfect. Hot
time.
Opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Coors Light. When things get hot, cool off with a frost-brewed Coors Light. Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on.
Number five.
Caleb Porter is out as coach of the Portland Timbers, and no one really seems to know why.
But no one seems necessarily shocked by it, though.
Oh, really? I thought it was shocking. Well, Twitter was shocked.
Well, I think people are surprised that he stepped down, but once it happened, I think there's a lot of people that are saying that there has been a lot of tension in that front office, and he just stepped away. He wasn't fired.
It's being painted as if he left. Like you said, but again, no one seems to know why. Speculation already that he will take over the Oregon State football team, and Larry Brown will be hired as the coach of the Timbers.
Some people are saying that possibly the U.S. men's national team could come calling to Caleb Porter, and maybe that's why he stepped down. But it sounds like there was a lot of tension between Porter and management and the team president, and that maybe it was time for everyone to go their own direction.
Number 4. All right.
Number 4.
Sayonara. The Memphis Grizzlies lose Mike Conley indefinitely. They're shutting him down due to an Achilles slash heel issue.
Yeah, you don't want to have that thing pop. And that's the difference between NBA and the NFL. Richard Sherman, remember, he'd been dealing that for 10 weeks, and they just kept putting a needle in it and kept running him out there until eventually it ruptured.
Blazers take on the Kings tonight in Sacramento. The Kings appear to have already mailed it in a stunning turn of events that surprises literally everyone. The same two teams meet again tomorrow night at the Moda Center. If you haven't been following so far, the Blazers, pretty good. They're number three in the NBA in defensive efficiency, and they're number three in the NBA in three-point defense. Their record?
What are they,
8-6. Tied with the Nuggets for fifth in the West.
Can't believe I thought they were 9-6.
Idiot.
How do I even host number this show?
Three. I don't know.
I don't know how many people Camas Football Stadium holds. By the way, I can't find...
These are basics.
I can't find a win over
I got one
team.
For you because, of course, Jason Swigard would know the Pilots' history.
Okay.
He being the play-by-play guy. Back in around 2010-ish, they played in the Wooden Legacy Tournament and beat UCLA.
UP did?
UP did.
Were they ranked? Because I can't find a
he
win
He said
over.
That they were ranked.
Okay. UCLA was ranked?
I believe so.
Because I'm going back year by year, and I'm at 2012, and there's not a win over a ranked team. So okay. I'm just going year by year.
Keep going.
Okay.
He said 2010 to 2012-ish is when that happened.
Okay. Well, it didn't happen in 2012.
The NBA's one-and-done rule could be no more. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Adam Silver is looking to get rid of it and recently met with the NCAA and officials. No one knows really what would replace it. Perhaps just that high school players could once again be able to make the jump straight to the NBA. It could also mean the league would then require players who actually go to college to stay for at least 2 years, a la the baseball model.
I love the baseball model. Doesn't that just make sense? Absolutely. If you're ready to go, go. But if you're going to be there, don't be there for 6 months and don't take a class.
I tell you what, that would help infinitely.
Both sides.
Both sides, but I think it really helps college basketball. According to CBS Sports, Chip Kelly and Mike Gundy are candidates for the Tennessee football vacancy. However, John Gruden is not. They don't like the fact he hasn't been on a college sideline in literally 26 years and only went 57-55 in his seven seasons with the Bucks.
Well, that's kind of my point, that this is the most important hire in 20 years for Tennessee. You can't risk it to a guy that's never recruited for. You know, the Gundy one is interesting, though. Mike Gundy has been really successful at Oklahoma State, and you wonder if Gundy looks around and just says, this is as good as I can do being second fiddle in my own state. Maybe greener pastures there at Tennessee.
TCU still has an outside shot at the college football playoff and winning the Big 12. They are at Texas Tech this weekend, but they will be without starting quarterback Kenny Hill. So a true freshman whose name I don't know will take over.
Come too far to get out of this stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And unfortunately, I have to report more potential sexual assault news reaching the sports world here. The NFL is investigating Tampa Bay quarterback Jameis Winston for allegedly grabbing his Uber driver by the you-know-what.
Yeah.
This was in March of 2016 in Arizona. Now, the Uber driver released a statement saying that she was driving him through what I assume is Taco Bell. She said they were in a drive-thru at a Mexican... I guess it's Taco Bell, a Mexican
maybe.
Restaurant.
Well, it could be a Taco King. Have you had one of those crispy burritos?
No.
Dude, they are delicious. It's way better than anything that the Bell has.
She says he, out of the blue, reached over and grabbed her crotch. She said she was terrified and said, hey, what the hell? But didn't want to make it worse, so she just took him home without another incident. Winston denies it. Now, here's what Winston is saying. He is saying that it wasn't him. He said that the Uber account that pinged for the ride was his, but it wasn't him in the car.
Interesting.
That's his excuse.
So, like, someone else.
Do we believe that?
I'm a little confused. Did someone else have his phone, or someone?
No, he just hooked somebody up with a Uber ride.
Okay. Well, wouldn't it be?
It's possible.
Wouldn't it be easy to know? Could the lady just be like, that was or wasn't Jameis Winston?
No, that's what they're saying is that she didn't know who it was. Huh. She just knew he was a football player, and they're saying it could have been one of his teammates.
I suppose.
It's possible.
That's plausible.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, download the new Coors Light XP app. Earn points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and rewards, even game tickets. Must be 21 or older.
I have been given more better information from the actual SID from UFP, who just called me, Jason Bro. It was the 2009-2010 season. In the Wooden Legacy Tournament, they beat UCLA, they beat a ranked Minnesota, and in the championship game, lost to West Virginia. And they were in the top 25 after that. And the next game, they lost to Portland State.
Oh, no way.
Well, at least...
So Portland State beat a top 25
there
team.
There you go.
Wait, so who was their coach at that time?
I don't know. We can go look up the 2009-2010 season. Right. But
see, someone is saying that...
It might have been Holton.
Someone was saying in 2013 they beat Gonzaga, and I see that. But on this, it doesn't have Gonzaga ranked. Like, So maybe they were. Now I'm going to have to look up that Gonzaga team and find out in 2013 if they were ranked. But they did beat the Zogs early in the year.
It was Eric Reveno, that team in 2000. What year did you say?
2009-10 season.
Yeah, that's Reveno. They went 21-11. Yeah, Holton, he was done in 05-06. Okay, coming up next.
Hot UP basketball talk.
We'll set your college football DVR. Get you ready for the college football weekend when we return on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
Deep in research here on the show, we just never stop sportsing for you.
No.
I was looking at Portland State versus UP.
Well, real quick here. So we have figured out that, because we went back to that 2009 UP team, but 2013-2014, they did knock off Gonzaga, who was 22 at the time. So that would be, that's a big upset.
That is a big upset.
Top 25 win.
Now, I think it's much easier for Portland State to get to the tournament than UP because they play in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
Whereas Portland has to battle Gonzaga and St. Mary's and all them in the West Coast. But Portland State did go to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Do you remember that?
I remember the one. They got housed by Kansas.
They did, but they also went...
I don't remember the second one, no.
They lost to Xavier in the tournament.
No, I don't remember that.
The very next year, they went back and lost to Xavier.
That under the that
was the boner.
Ken Bone?
Yeah. He parlayed that into a job up at Washington State.
What's old Ken Bone doing now?
Well, you can't Google him because the only guy that comes up is that.
Oh, the Jeopardy guy, right?
No, the guy from the debate.
The guy from the debate. Remember with the red sweater and the mustache?
I was thinking Ken Bone was the Jeopardy champion. The Mormon guy.
You're wrong.
What's that guy's name?
You're wrong, jerk. Ken Bone now. With Gonzaga.
Oh, his assistant coach?
Yeah, apparently.
Ken Jennings is the all-time Jeopardy champion. Guy made millions on Jeopardy.
He's a special assistant to Mark Few. That's a good special assistant.
I bet.
You know?
Yeah, the boner was good.
It was good. Okay.
Focus.
Get your tickets to PK80. So, hey, listen. Where are we? Oh.
So, listen, hey.
Going to set your college football DVR here because that's what we do.
Pay attention
on Fridays.
What do we got today? We got Ball State in Buffalo and Tulsa in South Florida, right?
Yeah,
so and
yeah, we have nothing.
Yeah,
tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., you're looking at probably your top game. You're looking at TCU at Texas Tech.
What about Mercer at Alabama?
Although you do have Virginia at Miami. I think that game will be closer than expected.
Yeah, the 9 a.m. game.
I didn't scroll down far enough.
Yeah, 9 o'clock right here.
Yeah.
That may be the game of the week.
Yeah, Michigan-Wisconsin. Now, do we trust... Okay, so Wisconsin's undefeated.
Number 5 in the country.
Do we trust Michigan here?
No, I just don't think Michigan can score. Michigan's offense is dreadful, and Wisconsin is a very, very good defensive football team. And you know what? They play enough offense. It's not like they don't score points. They put up 38 against Iowa, 45 against Indiana. They turn the ball over a little bit, and they can be one-dimensional, but I don't – and it's at Wisconsin, at Camp Randall. Nah, Wisconsin gets this one.
Okay, so who of the unbeatens is most likely to fall, Wisconsin, Miami, or Central Florida?
Who's Central – I got to look.
Central Florida plays at Temple also a 9 o'clock game. Actually, all the undefeateds are playing at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
All three of them.
I don't know what Temple's got going on. Obviously, not very much.
They're 5-5.
Yeah. So, and then who's the other one that...
Miami, Virginia.
I think I'm going to go Miami. This, to me, could be trap game stylings here. Because, like you said, Virginia isn't bad. I've seen them play a couple times. And I saw them, they beat Boise State. In fact, they kicked Boise State's ass. And I'm trying to the other one that I saw them play. They just got done beating George Tech, 2 weeks ago. So this may be, you remember, Miami's, you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids here. Miami coming off 2 huge weeks. Looking ahead to the ACC title game, thinking national title picture. Bronco will have his team, you know, up for this one. That could be sneaky trap game if Miami's not careful.
Also at 9, Mississippi State, Arkansas, if you care. That's the other ranked team playing at 9. But, yeah, this week, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, and Oklahoma all have cupcakes.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's the bye week, you know, for Alabama and Auburn. And then next week, we get the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare.
Okay, looking through here. The next game up that would be of local interest would be Arizona State, Oregon State. That game is going to be on the Pac-12 network, and it will be at noon. And I know you like the Sun Devils.
I do. That's only, what, a seven point spread there. Well, I just think some of the energy.
Arizona State is so hard to predict.
They're very uneven.
They just lost to UCLA.
I know. They're very uneven, and their defense can be very sketchy, but Oregon State, I don't think, can score enough. And look, I just think that some of the juice that Corey Hall brought has worn off a little bit these last couple weeks. They kind of got took to the woodshed by Cal and by Arizona.
Here's a hot Pac-12 fun fact. The league will have 5 teams trying to become bowl eligible this week.
Yeah.
So of the 5 games in the Pac-12, every one of them features a team who's trying to become bowl eligible. Arizona State, Oregon, Cal, Utah, and UCLA. And then Colorado will try to become bowl eligible next week. They're off this week.
I was looking at some bowl projections, and a lot of people think that Oregon may have to go play in one of the non-Pac-12 bowls because there'll be too many Pac-12 teams. And they're just not going to be a big draw for the Oregon fan base to go down to a crappy bowl.
So where is it? It depends where it is.
Yeah, I think the one I saw that some people are predicting that they may end up in is Shreveport.
Ooh.
For whatever it is, the Cactus Bowl or something. But a lot of people think they won't be selected for one of the Pac-12 bowl games, but they'll certainly fill in.
Well, there's a lot left to play because, like I said, 5 teams. Yep. The Pac-12 has 6 teams that are going to be 6 or 7 win teams.
Just read it today. They were doing some bowl predictions, and a lot of people had them in non-Pac-12 bowl games.
Do you think those guys that do those bowl predictions take their time with that and actually like, oh, well, they would go here, and then that's, you know, or they just throw crap against the wall?
I think there's an element to it where you look at where the bowl games are played because, you know, it's all about selection. So if you've got a bowl game that's down in Texas or whatever, do you really think that the Oregon fan base is going to travel for a 6-5 team?
12:30, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, ESPN2. Navy Notre Dame will be at, of course, on NBC. Oklahoma, Kansas is on ESPN. Ooh. Yes.
37-point spread.
Boom.
Boomer Sooner.
Nothing good, really, at 12:30. Nebraska, Penn State, tickle your...
No. Nebraska is awful. Okay. I don't know if you've seen any of Nebraska, but they are so bad.
I only saw them against Oregon.
It is... They just... Minnesota, and we saw Minnesota play in their limited offensive ability. They beat Nebraska 54-21 last week.
Arizona, Oregon is going to be at 4 o'clock on the Pac-12 network. Looks like the Ducks will get Justin Herbert back. By the way, I was thinking about that today because, you know, the 2 Duck stories yesterday came from Brett McMurphy.
Yeah.
Here's how I think that went down. I think that Brett McMurphy knows Jim Leavitt. And I think, and I'm totally speculating, but I think that McMurphy, who he's not even employed.
No.
Like, he's not supposed to be breaking stories. I think
free-range.
Leavitt called him and said, hey, this Bill Schneider stuff is, you know, about, because the whole story about Bill Schneider shutting down the idea of Jim Leavitt as coach in waiting at Kansas State.
He wanted that out there.
He wanted that out there. So he called McMurphy. McMurphy threw it out there. And then McMurphy said, well, what are you going to do for me? He's like, all right, Herbert's back. Throw that out there. Seriously. I honestly think that's how it works.
That is way plausible.
I guarantee you they're buddies.
Look, there's a reason why that Levitt story got out. Levitt wants his name out there with all these job openings.
And he used McMurphy to do it, and he gave him a little nugget on the side.
Wouldn't shock me one bit.
Hopefully Herbert plays. At least that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So Arizona, Oregon, 4 o'clock Pac-12 Network. I like Oregon in this game. I know a lot of people like Arizona, but Arizona is not to be trusted on the road.
No, it's just that no one has stopped Khalil Tate, and this should be a fun game.
But you know what, though? They had Khalil Tate at Colorado and at Cal, and they damn near lost.
Yeah.
So Oregon with Herbert back, I think with the defensive front. Oregon's just Jekyll and Hyde. You know, it's hard to trust them.
Washington State has a good defensive front, and Khalil Tate went video game style on him.
No, that's true, but, I mean, it just gives them a chance, right? Yes. Like Khalil Tate against UCLA, yeah, good luck. But Oregon has the way they match up, they have a chance to slow him down. I just think Oregon's offense with Justin Herbert is so much better. And Arizona on the road has not been great. So I actually think the Ducks are going to beat them.
And if you look in the history, Arizona and Oregon have played good games.
Like, yeah, Rich Rod has done well.
Yeah, if you look back over the years, those have been fun, competitive games.
LSU, Tennessee, 4 o'clock ESPN, who cares?
Ed Ogeron versus Brady Hoke.
Oh, you're right. Well. Hashtag.
Never forget.
Never forget.
You know, we were talking about this earlier in the week. And, teams really don't tackle in the fall anyways. How many days would you venture to guess that you would go live anyways?
No.
Coach?
No.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, we still there.
Hello. Sorry about that.
He never gets old.
What else do we have? Then the evening games, you've got... Cal Stanford at 5 on Fox.
You want to keep an eye on that one because remember, if Cal wins, UW has to beat Utah. But if Cal wins, there's a really good chance that the Pac-12 North will come down to the Apple Cup. If Stanford wins, then it's either Washington State or Stanford. So if you're a UW fan, you just became a huge Cal Golden Bear. You need them to knock Stanford off for you to have any chance.
So who do you think wins? If somebody's going to win the two rivalry games? Oh, where is the – oh, sorry.
It's at USC. Get there yet.
Yeah, UCLA at USC is also at 5, and that'll be on ABC. And then at night you have Utah at Washington, 7:30 on ESPN. So Pac-12 stuff late. If Cal is going to pull off the upset or UCLA, which is more likely?
I think Cal, just because, to me, Stanford can play down. We just seen it. Like, if Bryce Love isn't healthy, that's a completely different team. And he hasn't been. Even the big game he had last week, he still was leaving that game with that ankle problem. Without Bryce Love, that's a very average offensive football team. I don't think UCLA has a chance in Hades to slow down USC offensively. Believe it or not.
You mean if they played the game in Hades?
Wherever they played the game. And it wouldn't matter.
Playing inside a person would be pretty hard, right?
Right.
That would be true. Ronald Jones has been USC's best player. It hasn't been Sam Darnold. UCLA is giving up 300 yards rushing. They can't score enough on USC to keep this one competitive. So Cal, the much better chance to pull off the upset.
Well, that's it. That's all I have to report to you. That's not a great day of college football.
It really is not.
And so if you've got honeydews or you got kids stuff, the early games are actually... You know, this week probably better, and then you get to Pac-12 stuff late.
I think Michigan and Wisconsin might be the only.
That's the game of the week.
I think that's the only game against ranked opponents.
All right, coming up next, we will wrap up the week with a few Friday randoms. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
We do have Foo Fighters tickets. They will be playing at the Botas Center on September 10th. Does it seem awful early to be promoting a show that's...
Well, but the tickets are going on sale.
Well, no, I understand, but... Why do the tickets do tickets always go on sale this early for
a
show?
When a band releases like the year tour coming up.
And it's like as big of a band as Foo Fighters. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get this. I got mine.
The show is September 10th of next year. If you're wondering if I'm misspeaking, I'm not. That's
next year.
We will give away a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters right now. Just be the third caller at 503-250-1080 right now. Third caller, 503-250-1080. And a reminder that tickets do go on sale for this show this Saturday. That is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Just log on to Ticketmaster.com.
If you were a member,
get there early.
If you were a member of the fan club, you could have been a part of the presale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's one of the perks of being in the...
Yes.
The 1080, the fan club, you mean?
No, the Foo Fighters fan club. Well, you know what? You just have to sign up for their newsletter. It's free.
I was talking about the preeminent fan club in the country, the 1080, the fan.
But I did buy my Foo Fighter tickets.
Fan club.
So I spent a lot of money today because I got Hamilton tickets and the Fighters of the Foo.
Hey, I wanted to... I have some randoms
Random
for
away.
You. It's Friday. We're going to wrap up the last 20 minutes of this hour with some Friday randoms, things we didn't get to this week. Did you see that... Bob Knight and you see eye to eye on something?
Oh, hell. I'm going to have to totally rethink my position on something.
No, you're not.
Really?
No.
Because it bothers me that I'm eye to eye with Bob Knight on anything.
Bob Knight came out.
He's my most...
You hate Bob Knight.
He is my least... I'm trying not to hate. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf.
Well, you're not doing a very good job.
No, he is my least liked sports figure possibly ever that... You know, minus the Ray Carruth, O.J. Simpsons of the world.
Well, those are obvious.
Yeah. You see, Ray Carruth is getting ready to get out of prison.
Is he?
Yeah.
So, Bob Knight said, I have never been a John Wooden fan.
Ooh.
He says, I have a lot of respect for Wooden as a coach. How he coached, he was a good coach. This is in an interview with Joe Buck. Joe Buck shows back.
Yeah.
Then he says, but from then on, and I don't mind saying it, I don't respect Wooden because he allowed Sam Gilbert to do whatever it took to recruit kids.
No.
And one time he told me, I just didn't know how to deal with Sam Gilbert. And I'm saying to myself, I damn sure could have dealt with him.
Interesting.
Personally, I liked John as a person, but it isn't just John. It's a whole UCLA approach to recruiting. I think John was called in and told he didn't have to worry about recruiting, that they had people who would take care of that for him. How about that? You have long said that.
Damn it.
You have long
bashed.
You have long pointed out
the hypocrisy.
That everybody's, John Wooden.
Dirtiest program ever.
Sam Gilbert paying kids.
Well, paying kids, abortions, hookers, drugs, cars, you name it. Read through some of the stuff that was going on with those UCLA teams. And so It does bother me a little bit that Wooden gets painted as a saint, and like Calipari or you know, whoever, Rick Pitino is another one, Larry Brown, get viewed as like these slimy kind of cheats, whereas John Wooden in the Pyramid of Success gets held up as like this saint of college basketball, and clearly the guy was a hell of a coach. You know, he's not arguably one of, if not the greatest coach of all time. Some people may throw out Coach K for doing it in the competitive era that he did. But make no mistake about it, the dirtiest program that probably ever was were those UCLA teams. But if you say that, it's like you're a heretic. It's like, watch it now. Watch the Wooden fans just come out of the woodwork and just throw daggers. And that's the thing, is it's not speculation. It's not rumors. Like, it's fact. The guy has owned up to it. Players have owned up to it.
That's what Bob Knight said. How do you feel about seeing eye to eye with Bob Knight?
Damn it.
This is not good for you.
No, it pains me. But in this case, he is right.
And you know what? Look, I'll say it. I think it's ballsy that he said that.
Yes, it is.
Now, I don't know. It's one thing for a sports radio host shock jock like yourself to say it.
Clearly.
It's another for the somewhat respected Bob Knight, although he is much older now, so he probably doesn't give a rip. But would he have said that back in the day?
But if you took that program, right? So
which program?
The UCLA program.
Oh.
And we put that in context of other programs that have had nowhere near the success, but like just were dominant programs.
By the way, we have a Foo Fighters winner. You can stop calling.
Yeah, we got it.
I think. Did you get one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the new album, Concrete and Gold, fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't like their previous album.
You didn't like Sonic Highways?
I didn't. It was not my favorite.
Ooh. Concrete and Gold is really good.
All right.
But so let's take the Miami football programs. Let's take the Oklahoma football programs. And those get viewed like awful, right? They're like the worst thing to ever happen to college football. That was UCLA basketball. There was no difference. Other than it was run by a guy that was classier and put on a better face for the general public. And the reason why, too, he was able to do that is because the time it was in. If that had taken place in the 80s or the 90s, one, you couldn't have done it. And two, you would have been labeled as a renegade program. But this was back when there wasn't, you know, the media that we have now. No one was doing the gotcha thing. And it was all just this week, nod, kind of keep it behind closed doors. And it does bother me a little bit that no one is willing to talk about it, except for
the most hated man,
Bob Knight,
on your hated men ladder.
Damn it.
That sucks for you. Well, anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Another random coming up next, actually a couple if we can get to them. Did you see Joel Embiid the other night?
Yes. That was
insane. Holy crap.
He was on the verge of a quadruple double.
Yes, he was.
You know, he has more points in two games at the Staples Centers than Lonzo Ball does all year.
Oh, but did you know Lonzo Ball got a haircut, though?
Yeah, he's gonna restart the career with
in
that
your
one.
Face.
Yeah.
5:45 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're wrapping up the hour with some randoms. Coming up at 6, it'll be Club 1080, and we will talk about Skydong. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, it's just, this story warms my heart, amongst other things.
Mine too. Our hearts together.
Yes.
So Joel Embiid the other night for the Sixers scored 46 points, had 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks.
He was flirting with a quadruple double,
which is insane. And if you haven't watched him play yet, and it still pisses me off, he got hurt the one season he was at Kansas.
Yeah.
They were so good. He got hurt and
he was hurt his first 2 years in the NBA. And there was kind of this, he kind of had that Greg Oden label about him.
Yeah, so the Sixers right now are 8-6, and they're climbing up the ladder in the East. But Joel Embiid is kind of a mix. Well, he's a lot like the Dream.
Yeah,
Hakeem Olajuwon, because he does the Dream Shake.
Got a little dream. He
did the double Dream Shake the other night.
He's got more moves than a player his size. He had one in that game you're talking about where he got the ball on the wing, kind of out by the 3-point line, went around a guy, and then did a little like shimmy shake, went right by him and threw it down. He's
the man.
For 7 feet 250, you just don't move like that.
Yeah, he scored. Here's what's crazy about his 46. He scored 46 points on 20 shots.
Yeah. Well, everything's at the rim, and it's just, he's on
free throws.
Yeah.
He had 16 free throws. He is the closest thing to a Shaq, Olajuwon hybrid that we've had since those guys.
Well, there's not a lot of dominant big guys in the game, and when he's on the floor and he has it going, like, who stops him? Like, there's just not a lot of guys that can match up with
him. No, he's the reason why guys in the NBA don't like to play defense.
Yes.
Because it's like, I'm not trying that.
No, he's going to
get embarrassed.
I mean, he's what, got 23-11 right now?
He did it in LA against the Lakers, which is funny because Lonzo Ball in that same game goes 1-for-9 and gets benched.
If you haven't been paying attention, Ball has been getting benched in the fourth quarter consistently
now.
He's
not very good.
To the point where people are asking Luke Walton whether or not he's in danger of losing his job, and Walton's saying all the right stuff. But there's some serious talk about whether or not Lonzo Ball is worth it, especially in a league. If you look around, this draft class has been dynamite. And, you know, the rookie of the year, I know he's technically a rookie, but it's not just Embiid, is Ben Simmons is the truth right now. And think if Markelle Fultz was worth a damn and was playing. Like if you look at like Jason Tatum and what he's doing, can you imagine if you put Tatum on this Sixers team with Simmons and Embiid? Because you've got nothing out of Fultz.
Yeah, no, that's true. They are debating. I saw this the other day. We were in here. We were doing the show, and I looked up, and ESPN was debating if Ben Simmons is the best rookie ever.
Really?
Yeah, his numbers are comparable to Magic Johnson's.
And if he ever develops a jumper, game over.
He's averaging 18 points, 9 boards, and 7.7 assists per game as a rookie.
Yep.
So you got him and you got Embiid. You're right, man. It'd be crazy if they had Tatum. But, I was comparing the Sixers and Lakers. I just went back and looked because that game was in L.A. against the Lakers. And because you just sort of forget. It's been several years where the Sixers have been trying this rebuild thing.
Yeah.
But if you look at their major first-round picks, The Sixers have had two number ones and two number threes in the first round, right?
Yeah.
Over the last four seasons. The Lakers, over the last four seasons, have had three number twos and a number seven. And yet the Sixers are, I mean, they're running circles around the Lakers in terms of just future potential.
Yeah.
So
you've got two legit stars.
So they had a seven and then three number twos. They have Ball, Ingram, had D'Angelo Russell. They flipped him for Brooke Lopez and then Julius Randle. Meanwhile, the Sixers go Simmons, Fultz, which of course hurt.
Yep.
Embiid. And then Okafor, which he didn't work out.
He didn't work out either.
But still, the Sixers, with their four picks over the last four seasons, infinitely better than what the Lakers have done.
Just that Fultz one. And who knows? He, you know, maybe he gets healthy, but you just look at some of the guys. Donovan Mitchell in Utah, who's just been great.
I told you about him.
Yeah.
Did I not tell you about him?
And he's
I wanted the Blazers to get that guy.
And he's been great.
He was down there near where the Blazers were supposed to draft.
And the other kid, the Arizona kid, the Markkanen, Chicago is dreadful, but and I haven't seen him play, but you know, I keep reading about the kid from Arizona, the Lauri Markkanen, who people are saying is a young Dirk. I haven't seen him either because the Bulls are warmed over garbage. But
Mitchell went 13th. They had him projected down where the Blazers were, but the Blazers traded up to 11, so, I mean, they could have gotten Mitchell. But.
And then Dennis Smith has been phenomenal for a garbage Mavericks team, too. So it's a great rookie class. And, you know, like the whole Lonzo Ball rookie of the year, some people don't think Lonzo Ball is a top 10 rookie right now. In fact, they keep talking about on the NBA, inside the NBA all the time, that Kuzma is the best rookie on the Lakers. It ain't Lonzo Ball.
Wow. All right, coming up next, let's get to the story of the day, and that is a giant dong in the sky.
Yes, sky
it's,
dong.
It's 5:56 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.